Hello and welcome to this episode of Better Off Red. My name is Pip Adam and this is episode 127. This is a really exciting episode for me. We're stepping away from the Beyond a Joke series for this episode. So in February, I was lucky enough to have a conversation with Sasha and Ashiel from Five Ever. This conversation sort of hasn't left me since we had it. Like, I've listened to it a few times, and yeah, I just think it was one of the most amazing conversations I've ever had, and I really wanted to share it here with everybody. So Five Ever is sort of an underground publishing house based at Rebel Press, which is at Trades Hall in Te Whanganui, Tara, but it's kind of so much more. And yeah, like I say, this conversation just gave me a lot of hope. Although we talk about the work that Five Ever does, we also talk a lot about the political possibilities of publishing and books. And yeah, I just wanted to share it here. Like I say, the conversation took place in February and it was on Wellington Access Radio's Community Drive Show, the Friday Community Drive Show, which I host on a Friday at 5 p.m. on Wellington Access Radio. There are a few things, because it was recorded in February and broadcast live, there are a few things that I've edited the podcast slightly, but I just wanted to give you a heads up on a couple of things. First of all, Ashiel and Sasha talk about an event that was taking place the day after we talked, and they also talk about a protest that took place on the day we talked. So I thought it was important to leave in the conversation about the event that was taking place the next day, just because I think it shows a really good example of the sort of work that Five Ever is doing, and also the project. I just think it's an incredible project and I just wanted to leave that in. Secondly, during the program we play three songs, and because those were broadcast live, we had copyright approval to do that. But I've removed two of the songs, and if you go to betteroffred.substack.com, you can listen to the songs. Those of you that have got the newsletter, all the songs are in there. One of the songs I have left in, Shervin Hajipour's For Woman, Life, Freedom, because I just think it's really important that people hear that song at every opportunity to hear that song, because I think it sort of focuses us back on the struggles that are taking place in Iran. This is the podcast. I really hope you enjoy it. I often feel a little bit hopeless sometimes, and I think that this was an incredibly hope-filling conversation, but also it was very joyful, and yeah, I don't know. I just think more and more that action is the key. So yeah, I really hope you enjoy this podcast, and yeah, we'll be back in May. Holy Moses. Are we nearly at May? Anyway, here is the podcast. Right, so there's some music. We've had some music, and now we've got two amazing guests in the studio. And yeah, I wonder if you all would like to introduce yourselves, however you would like to introduce yourselves.
Hi.
Yay! Welcome. Thanks so much for coming up to Access Radio. We really appreciate it. It's wonderful. So can you tell us a bit about yourselves, Sasha?
So I suppose, I guess I'm an artist, an activist, and you know, and that kind of leads into this kind of work. Mm-hmm. I write, I like to paint, I like to craft, I like to organize.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And you were out today doing some helpful stuff.
the Iranian kind of protests against the regime and all the atrocities that are happening there. We went to the embassy in Hatay-Tai and then to Parliament. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. Excellent. And Ashiel, do you want to introduce yourself?
Kia ora. My name is Ashiel. What can I say? You stole all of my answers, Sasha.
Sheila's great.
I love making things too.
Yeah.
I love cooking, and I love hanging out with my friends. Mm. In general, being active in Wellington City. I've lived here for 10 years now. It's my city of choice. Mm-hmm. And every time I walk out the door, I'm very excited about what I'm going to find in the streets.
Awesome. True. That's a really good point. Yeah. I was out there today and I was thinking exactly the same thing. Like when I leave the station, I never know whether it's going to be busy or, and it seemed like there were a lot of cruise ship people around. And then we've got like Pacifica tomorrow, so there's a lot of people in town for that, and yeah, it's just really great. And what sort of things do you like to cook? I don't want to put you on the spot, but like, do you have a favorite thing you want to cook?
I think I make a good crepe.
Oh my lord.
Also mean feat. Like a really really good one pot camping meal wonder, like
cheers.
So good.
These skills will never, you know, you will be great in the apocalypse. You will be great in the everyday. It is just amazing. Now, both of you kind of represent in my brain Five Ever Box, but I just wonder if you could maybe tell us a little bit about that organ. Well, I mean, how do you think of it? Is it an organization? Is it a group of projects? Could you just talk a little bit about that for us?
I mean, we were just kind of talking about this before, so I don't know. Do you want to sort of start off with that stuff and then I'll talk about the history?
Sure, awesome. Yeah. So I suppose Five Ever currently is a collective, but most importantly, Five Ever is a tactic. So we carry this tactic with Sasha, but also with whoever joins us at any point in time during our processes. What is the tactic for? Well, I suppose it's an ever-changing form of doing art, but also crafts and generally producing.
And politics.
Yeah, and altering matter towards politics, but also most importantly towards a general sentiment of love and sharing and community.
Definitely. And I mean, I definitely, like, we've had to kind of think about it quite a bit to get to the idea that it's a tactic, because the form changes a lot, and we sort of use the term Five Ever Books as like a license to organize random things. So Five Ever started as Five Ever Dankly Florist, and that was kind of an online community group that worked on Google Docs and produced a few texts, but it was kind of mainly more an art project. And then it was basically run by Max, and I met Max in 2019, and then I don't know, I guess we just suddenly like got the vibe immediately and we're like, whoa, okay. And in a couple of months after a few meetings, he passed over the name, I guess, Five Ever. And at that point as well, Ashil and I, you know, kind of connected and, you know, started doing plotting and scheming, and then, just sort of all naturally turned into what it is now in terms of, like, the partnership between Ashil and I.
As you say, Five Ever Books, we do so much more than books, but it's the foot in the door, you know, you make books, it's a understandable item.
And I guess it's at the, you know, at the intersection of a lot of different kind of things like politics, culture, art, production, events, or conversation, discussion, academic work, you know, all that sort of stuff.
And I just love that idea of altering matter, it just seems, because you've got an event coming up like this weekend, is that right?
Tomorrow.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that? People might want to come along.
Yes.
Cool. Okay. So tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., we will be all gathering, all hands on deck with everyone, and we will be transforming recycled paper that we hustled, that we found, that we dumpster dived.
That's been
generously donated. And we'll transform all of this paper into notebooks, notepads, and general kind of, notebook objects.
Everyone's welcome. Yeah, please come
everyone's
along.
Welcome.
We need all hands on deck.
All ages, everyone. And then we'll just send those notebooks to prisoners, or rather to prisons or to people in prisons who can then disseminate them to prisoners.
It's pretty interesting as well, because I guess part of what, you know, we started thinking about was we found out that in prison, access to basic materials for art and writing are limited at best, at the best of times. And that's pretty shit. Like, that's terrible. Mm. And we realized, like, having the means of production at Rebel Press, like, we sort of realized we could make notebooks. And, yeah, so that's sort of, like, kind of what it started as. But it's so crazy because all the prisons are so different. Like, what this whole project has really opened my eyes to is the inequities between prisons and the structures, like, whoa, some people don't even care about art, so there's not like a pencil in the building. But yeah, during COVID as well, like a lot of the, which was something that I learned, which was a surprise to me, is that the prison system operated on a different traffic light system than the general public. And so when the general public went to orange, like the prisons were still at red. And what that meant is like, prisoners were locked in their rooms, programs were shut down, visitations was just not an option. Even, yeah, loads of programs, loads of interactions, just everything, you know, kind of went kaput. And so, yeah, I guess we were just like, shit, they really need to have paper. That is essential.
It's such a magnificent project as well, because like this idea of bringing people together to make something means that there's often conversations over making, like, I don't know, like, I always think about those craft circles and, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So, like, it allows, like it gives something, you know, the activism's kind of at that point where it gives something to people who need it, but there's also, like, room for, and this is what I love about the idea of it as a tactic rather than anything else, is that it means that there's space for new ideas to come up while the books are being made.
Absolutely. Totally. Yeah, we see it as a direct application of our job titles, which is publishers, in the way that what the publishers do, you know, they enable someone else's art work.
I guess giving the notebook, it's like a crucial part of the ecology of like the literature ecology, you know, like if we have to get like that, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
So, but I agree, you know, and I think it kind of comes back to that thing about the transformation of matter, actually, because like when we're all sitting together, like we are working on the creation of an object, and in that process of production together, you're so right. Like, conversations happen, you know, like we share some beers and like listen to some crazy music. And, you know, like, and it's really nice. It's really nice, important community time. I fully agree.
Yeah. So it's not like I struggle with the word charity because, you know, for many reasons. But like here, what we really like is that like on one side, we enable art on the other side as well, and it's just a happy coincidence that it can happen on both sides with the one same project.
I just think what you're talking about is absolutely astounding, because and even the fact that what you're doing is using materials in a way that are kind of conscious as well. You know, there's sort of a mindfulness around where the materials for the notebooks come from as well. Yeah. It's really great.
I mean, it's pretty funny going, like, it's actually pretty crazy how much waste there is in the world that's like reusable. I mean, like, we all know that, but like when we go and get the paper stock from like the printers, we'd basically say, hey, yo, can we have your offcuts? And then they'd hand us all these big boxes of like perfectly great, but maybe slightly different shape paper that, I mean, yeah, it is pretty amazing. And I think, I definitely thank Ashiel really for like bringing this project. I think, and also making those connections at the beginning. Like he was, you know, like out in the street going and being like walking into the factory and being like, hi, here's my flyer. What do you think?
And such lovely thing as well, because having seen some of the notebooks online, you know, this amazing, what's the word, like sort of happy surprise or happy coincidence or happy, you know, like thing that can happen, where I imagine, you know, the blank page can be a scary thing, but a lot of the notebooks have all sorts of memories of other work in them, which I think is just so beautiful, like really great.
Yeah, we... it's kind of a black box because we don't know exactly how the notebooks are used. So we do hope that, like, so we splice in a few images torn off from books or like colored textured paper, anything that's just basically not flat and gray.
Because that's important. Yeah. I think we actually really talked about how important it was to like really imbue the object that we were making with, I don't know, just that kind of care that we were talking about before as being like essential, just that sort of thoughtfulness, like the recognition that that's an object that they these people specifically who maybe don't have that many objects in their life will have with them, and that it can bring joy. So really trying to focus on that.
Mm-hmm. And it's just such a beautiful thing as well. I was just thinking, like, it's building these communities of people that may never meet as well. You know, like, you know, someone puts together a notebook, uses their creativity to put together the notebook, and then the notebook is kind of becomes something else in a different space. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. And I think also, again, we'll do it as long as it works, but then we'll move to the next, you know,
thing. Who knows?
Connection.
Watch the space. Yeah. Oh,
I just love the sound of it. You were talking a little bit about music and beers. We do not have any beers, but you have brought us some beautiful music. So I thought we could just maybe take a wee break and listen to this track, which is Twice, Queen of Hearts.
Ow!
Oh my God, what a great thing. We're all having a bit of a dance in the studio. Very important thing, very important thing. Tell me about why you chose that song today.
It's my guilty pleasure and I think a great demonstration of our contradictions.
Yeah, that's good.
Within us. I love K-pop. I love big production, big lights and glitter K-pop. Yep. That's my thing.
It was great. It was great. And I think, you know, what I think is interesting about it is that, okay, this is a thought of mine, so you can say you're wrong, but when I think of Five Ever Books, I think of like this quite range of projects, if you know what I mean. Like I think, like you're holding that beautiful book there, and I sort of think, you know, like there's some books that might look like what we expect if we say publishing company, and there are some events that have been quite big and, you know, like, I don't know, I don't, like, I say the wrong thing, but I mean, like, you know, high production, a lot of technology, and then there's the quieter events. And I just wonder, what do you think, what I think is great is that it feels like because of your approach, you're able to, like, move and pivot and change and work through it. But what do you think is useful about having a range of sort of projects rather than sort of just humming along one line?
I think there's the dimension of experimentation.
Yeah, definitely.
And we're just trying new forms, and then so it's mostly that. And
it's like big chaos energy, but in a good way. You know, I think that, you know, shaking things up.
Yeah.
And I think something that is a outcome of the situation of doing a range of things is that we're often in the deep end, but. For both of us, we really love that, and really, like, learning holds our interest really, really well. And so, like, as a form of kind of practice, I think that that really helps us keep passionate about everything that we're doing. Mm. But then kind of beyond, like, I guess my personal kind of experience with it, I think also, you know, having a range of tactics means that, or, you know, for instance, like having public events where there's like 150 people in the audience versus like, you know, having this Notebooks for Prisoners things versus having like the bookstore that we just held at Welcome to Nowhere. Like, I think in a way it's just about connecting people and ideas. And so for me, it makes sense that there's going to be a range because there are lots of different ways of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're just a lot more focused on the outcome rather than the form. We'll stop making books as soon as we feel like they don't do the work we want them to do. And start doing something else.
Can you talk a little bit, like, you have already mentioned this, but I just want to really hone in on it about what is the work that these do, you know what I mean? Like, we think publishing is like so overwhelmed with like capitalism and a lot of, you know, like product, payment, labor, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I just wonder, what are the possibilities that you all have found in this kind of sector of the arts?
So I guess we're getting into the real politics, right?
We can do that.
And maybe, I mean, and again, maybe our positions as individuals, well, they do matter to us, not really matter to everyone. But I suppose what we're doing when we're publishing and like moving ideas left and right and throwing ideas is just fighting against the university of meaning. And so, you know, you can say it another way. You can just say, tell the undertold stories or, you know, all of that. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I also, I mean, I agree, but I also think that, like, Yeah, you know, these are conversations that kind of enter the space of like social, cultural, you know, like meaning, basically. I think you nailed it when you said meaning, you know, that's why we tell stories ultimately. And I think that, you know, with the license that I have found with kind of being a publishing company or a publishers or whatever, you know, is that like it encapsulates a lot of avenues for impact. And I think that also speaks to the fact that we're anarchists to some degree, and like also we operate out of Rebel Press where we have the means of production. So there's a really big DIY focus in terms of how we approach this as well. And I think for both of us, that is something that was already quite strongly ingrained in our own lives and practices before we kind of even met each other. And so, yeah, I think by having that kind of, I don't know, I find it really interesting, particularly in Wellington, because I feel like there's so few degrees of separation that you can actually do have a lot of activations, and organizing can have returns. And you can see that because you're connected with the communities that you're engaging with. And so, yeah, I sort of, yeah, I think that that's kind of, yeah. Yeah, some thoughts.
I really, really love all these ideas, because I think what's so interesting to me is that and again, I might be wrong and you can just tell me I'm silly, but publishing feels, when you talk about means of production, publishing feels like one of those things that is out of reach, if you know what I mean. Like this physical, like this beautiful book you're, you know, sitting in front of you, like, what I'm thinking, like when I wanted to, you know, like express or give people space, I thought of, you know, I'm, for some reason I'm thinking like online or less sort of more ephemeral, less like physical and hand-holdy. So, and you know, you've mentioned Rebel Press, and it's a huge, huge thing that that, that small room does. Like it's just incredible. But yeah, I just think, I guess all I'm saying is you're awesome. And yeah, it's just this idea that, and I guess the technology has changed as well, hasn't it? Maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, to produce a book like that would have been, you know, like in a different way. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, Rebel Press has been going for a while. But yeah, I really definitely agree that like Rebel Press is so central, you know, and backgrounds of zine making as well.
I think
we were both kind of in, like, Ashil's into type. And zine, and I was kind of into zines like poetry and philosophy and all those sorts of things. And then, I mean, for me, it really, I don't know, like I did a year at BWB, and in working in the environment, because I know what you mean, like publishers sort of, like the idea of it seems really far away and inaccessible and like gatekeeping and all this sort of stuff. But when I was at BWB, I was like, whoa, this team is like 6-7 people. And I mean, it's hectic as hell, but it's amazing. And in seeing that small team, I was like, oh, wow, you know, like it's possible. And then I was friends with Murdoch, and Murdoch showed me how to use the machines, and he taught me how to make a book at Rebel Press. And I made a book of some work that I, like, I self-published a book, basically. And suddenly I was like, oh, my God, this technology is amazing. It really did open up the whole thing.
It's just mind-blowing as well. And especially, like, Ashil, when I you know, you have this, when I think of you, I think of, I always think of the paper object. And I just think, yeah, like, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about what you think drew you to text on, you know, paper. I don't know.
No, interesting. I think both of us, well, came into the book while you did some BWB, so maybe just me. Came from really the outside the book world, and I came from the design world. I trained as an architect, and so I really looked at the book as an object first, a printed object with a process that meets the thing. So so I wasn't influenced by what a poetry book should be, for example, or what, you know. And also, you know, growing up with the standard realization that like history is fiction. So if if history is fiction, nonfiction is also fiction. So what is a book anymore?
What is real?
So what is high literature? So I guess words on the page. It's a little bit strange for me, but I think I've spent way too much time with Wellington poets. And eventually, and including my girlfriend, hi Yawen. And so eventually, I just had to cave in and do what everyone else does. Yeah,
poetry is like the greatest anarchist. I don't know. Like I'm quite into poetry. Mm. I'm gonna play another song, but I'm just gonna play one randomly, cool. And let's have a break and listen to some music.
برای توی کوچه رخصیدن، برای ترسیدن به وقت بوسیدن، برای خواهرم، خواهرت، خواهرامون، برای تغییر مغزها که پوسیدن، برای شرمندگی، برای بیپولی، برای حسرت یک زندگی معمولی، برای کودک زبال گرد و آرزوهاش، برای این اقتصاد دستوری، برای این هوای آلوده، برای ولی عصر و درختای فرسوده، برای پیروز و احتمال انقراضش، برای سگهای بیگناه ممنوعه، برای گریه های بیوقفه، برای تصویر تکرار این لحظه، برای چهره ای که میخنده، برای دانش آموزا، برای هاینده، برای بهشت اجباری، برای نخبه های زندانی، برای کودکان افغانی، برای این همه برای غیر تکراری، برای این همه شعارهای تو خالی، برای آوار خونه های پوشالی، برای احساس آرامش، برای خورشید پس از شبای طولانی، برای غرصای اعصاب و بیخوابی، برای مرد میهن آبادی، برای دختری که آرزو داشت پسر بود، برای زن زندگی آزادی، برای آزادی،
goodness. That was magnificent. Thank you so much for bringing that, Sasha. Do you want to talk a little bit about that beautiful piece of
music? That is a protest song from the Iranian Revolution. It was filmed on the artist's phone and live streamed, and then he was arrested and tortured, and basically I think he even kind of as a result of that like apologized. But it's kind of become the anthem of the revolution, and it's there's also an English version, which has been it's a pretty powerful song.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Thank you so much for bringing it. I was just saying before, you know, like this, things come into landing every now and then. You know what I mean? Like I think often I'm sort of living my life and, you know, and it's really nice to just take a moment and, come down to sort of what really matters. And, thank you so much. I was wondering, you mentioned going away, you were away with the book sale up at the festival. And, I just wonder, again, you know, like this thing that you said about like learning and how that excites you and keeps you going and like being in the deep end. I just wonder, where did that project come from? And like because it's that interesting thing where that project supports another project.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about your time away and what it was like to be engaging in the idea of a shop, you know? What was that like?
To be honest, moving stock is is not extremely fascinating. But the stock we had to move was incredible. Like a selection of, 30 or so titles from our favorite publishers and friends from across the city.
I was just thinking, so it's kind of a second iteration of a project that we started in 2020, and it was actually like the first live kind of collaboration that Ashil and I did together, which was we had a pop-up bookstore at the Social Movements Conference. And what we were doing there was like we had a list of like 80 different titles that we thought would appeal to the audience, and we were charging full price.
Mm-hmm.
But when you paid full price for the book, what you were actually paying for was one price wholesale for yourself and one price wholesale for a book that was going to be sent into a prison library.
Awesome.
And so basically whatever stock we had left over, plus I think a few top-ups of those things that sold out really well, we then organized them to be sent into prison libraries around the country. Mm-hmm. So that was the first iteration of it, I guess. And then...
Yeah,
and I just sort of thought that could be used again to raise funds for postage because that's our main cost for the prisoner notebooks thing.
And I think in general, it felt quite liberating for Sasha and I at the time to kind of do something quote unquote serious or like an actual organized thing. That involves
the first deadlines. Time.
Yeah, the first
yeah,
time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Money.
Accounting. Yeah,
logistics. You know.
Totally.
And that was the beginning of us basically trying to create this Fiverr thing.
Mm.
And be like, actually, we're decent adults, and we can
organize.
We can get up in the morning and do that.
And then it was really cool at the festival. It was very muddy and rainy, but we had this tent, and it was lovely. It was like a big 3-room canvas tent, during setup, a friend of ours, like a civil engineering friend, dug a trench around the tent
under a tree
so that and you could see full on water running through the trench. So it was like definitely helping a lot. We just had this kind of like quiet space in between the stages, and it was shady, which was really lovely. And I don't know, we had a couple of volunteers who sort of like really grateful for them because they kind of held the space during the day.
Yeah, I read all the Tender Press books.
Lovely. Yeah, nice.
Every single one.
Or the last five or so.
Meeting people and talking with people. And then, like, what was the 100 Days guy who was there?
Oh, we had our friend. Oh, it's not nice that I don't remember his name.
You know the man who protested on Parliament Ground for climate change for 100 days? He was at the festival.
Fantastic.
And he came into the bookstore and, you know, had a look around and was just, like, enjoying the space quietly. And then on his way out, as he sort of started chatting to us because we were sort of sitting on the ground outside on a rug. And then he said that he was an editor or something of a chapter that was in one of the books that we had.
That's fantastic.
So that was really cool.
My God. And that's that other wonderful thing is that, you know, like books kind of make these networks, eh? Some really cool stuff there. Yeah. One of the things, I did not prepare you for this question, so you can just start making, don't ask me, play a song, Pip, kind of motions. But one of the things I just want to pick up on that you said that I just found incredibly uplifting is that I often, you know, like sometimes where I lose my hope as far as consensus goes or other models of leadership or other models of, you know, society is that I often equate consensus with everyone being the same, if you know what I mean. And I loved what you said about how there are contradictions even in the two of you. And I just wonder how do you think these different alternative systems can work? And, you know, you're obviously doing it where we can maintain our individuality as well. Like how do we come to these kind of I don't know, spaces where we can live together, but also, you know, have, you know, feel differently. Oh my God, this is like, can you solve the world's problems? Could you just do that?
I mean, I think
I remember when you sent me that book that was like the Xenofeminist Manifesto.
Oh, yeah.
And there was this idea of just like, we are born of the filth and let's just dive into it, you know, and, you know, yeah, and grow from there.
I love the idea that filth is ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so maybe the idea of like being a perfect little Marxist in the middle of the forest, as it was completely ruled out from the start for us.
But I also, I think, you know, amongst all of those things, you know, I also think it kind of comes, because I guess you're also speaking about kind of relationships in a kind of broader sense of community. And I think something that's really, really, really essential is to have like a generous worldview. Like you can be generous without being naive. And I think that's really, really, really important.
And that's what we're trying to do.
And I think succeeding in so many ways. I think I've only got time for one more question because I think we're going to go out with Tiana Taylor. And this question is kind of around one of the things I love about what you're doing is that it feels like you, several times today you've said one of my favorite phrases, which is like, we'll keep doing it while it's, you know, has space in the world and has purpose in the world. And I'm just wondering, have you got thoughts for the next? Like you've got the notebooks being made tomorrow. Have you got any other kind of thoughts or feelings, or do you want to talk about anything that you've already done that you'd like to let people know about? Or
We've got some things coming.
We got some things coming. Do you want to talk about?
They're making sign language. It's really great.
Like, they're like, can we talk?
Yeah, telekinesis. Forget about consensus. They've got telekinesis. It's amazing.
I mean, so we've got the book factory is on the horizon. Likely going to be at Cuba Duper, but also definitely going to be at Wanaka Festival of Color.
Awesome. Oh my goodness.
That's going to be super fun. And then we also have a book that we have a book tour coming up. Renee Williams, she's a local Wahine poet and she's awesome. And she's, got this lovely debut book of poetry. I think she's, you know, been involved in the slam scene quite a lot. And we're going to do a tour to Whanganui and New Plymouth. And Wellington.
That'll be so great. We have a couple of listeners up in Taranaki, actually. That'll be amazing. Cool. Oh, my goodness. Yep. That'll be so cool. And, of course, one link that I'll put on the Twitterverse and everything, you a lot of your stuff is for sale.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and there's quite a range of books. I just wonder, like, I mean, like, I really liked what Ashiel said before about, like, nonfiction is fiction and da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But there's, is the scope? But, you know, there's some great books there. Do you, I won't ask you for a favourite, but I did notice that you are carrying Alexa's book here.
I mean, I grabbed this on our way out of the press because it's, like, our most recent. Sort of thought it would be good. I don't know if, you know, what time would allow if we do a reading or something like that, but... Yeah, it's 500 pages. It's a memoir. She's an experimental dancer and organizer and artist and filmmaker and all those sorts of things.
What is the book called?
Oh, the book is called Theater of Ocean, Stories of Performance Between Us. Yeah, so that's a memoir. We also have a quick kind of brief of all the different sort of things. We have poetry. We've got philosophy. We've got kind of comedy. We've got...
History.
We've got not anime. It's like comic poetry.
Serious manga.
Serious manga. And then we have collage. And we've got a forthcoming book which is called Aotearoa Rising, and that is like 140-150 pages full color A4 coffee table book. Essay of is a collage essay, but all the collages were individually made by rangatahi at like political events. So again, I guess it's just like kind of having that at every step sort of thing.
It's just astounding because like as you're talking, as well as scope and sort of production method, number of authors, like, you know, all these things, there's also this wonderful scope and just even physical size of the book, you know, like that, you know, I really, really love it. Thank you both so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. This is just, like I said, it's just given me so much hope and so much wonder. And yeah, we have a few minutes to go, so I thought we could just have a little bit of Teyana Taylor singing We Got Love, and it features Ms. Lauren Hall. Oh, what a wonderful way to go. Thank you two so much, and have a great day tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.